My name is Sally Janum. We're at Sally's Market in Delhi, and the address is 829 Central Avenue.
Tell me about this place. Tell me what's in here, what you do, what's for sale, what you cook, what's on the menu.
Okay. It's like a convenience store. We sell everything. We sell cigarettes, blunts, candy. We have a menu. We sell Philly cheesesteaks, burgers, hot dogs, Reubens, gyros.
Yep. All right. All right. All right. Tell me a little bit about... Here, come stand on this side of me,
okay.
If you would.
Right
there. Right there. That's perfect. Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself, about your family, about your roots.
I'm originally from Palestine. I'm from a little city called Türkerim. I moved here when I was 4 years old. We moved to Dallas, Texas. With my whole family, and we've been living here ever since. And we moved to West Virginia, and now we live here.
What brought your family to West Virginia?
My dad actually went to college here in the 1990s, I think. He's an engineer, and I have a sister here.
Tell me about your childhood growing up with your dad in shops. It sounds like you've got a lot of experience in places like this.
Yes, ever since I was young, I was helping my dad when I was younger. My dad actually used to own a restaurant, too. He used to own Sahara Restaurant downtown. So ever since then, I've been helping him work around convenience stores and restaurants.
Sally's Market, it's named after you, belongs to you. This is your spot.
Yes, it is.
Talk to me about the pluses and minuses of owning a business like this.
It's very stressful as a minor.
Hold on. I'll let you think about it. Go ahead.
Right here?
Yeah.
There's a customer.
Oh, okay, go ahead. We'll get this done in bits and pieces. Well,
there's the coolers, right?
Yeah. It's we can work around this. Well, here, while he's working, tell me what's going on right here. You're getting some repairs done this morning.
Yes, it's an older building, so things keep falling apart.
What's this fellow working on?
He's fixing the tile.
Yeah? Reinforcing the floor over there?
How old is the building, Ray? How old is this building?
120, be 121 this January.
Happy birthday.
121-year-old building.
Yep. So it's an old building. It's hanging in there.
Go ahead.
He's been the maintenance man for a long time.
Yeah.
These are the tropical storm. Which one?
Tropical.
Okay. These are 169. Those are not on the deck. Okay. All right. The other ones are 129. That's fine.
A lot of people get them?
To be honest, I mean, they sell, but the silver ones, you like fruity flavors, so yeah, yours, you would like them.
All right,
Mom. All right,
buddy. Charles
family.
What was their last name?
Char.
Char, okay.
Char
building, yeah.
Okay. In front of the building, where they had to have the brick relayed around the front and the side.
Yeah, this is
they
the Char building.
They got their name
and
at
his
the top
wife,
there.
Well, the guy that used to own this place, his wife lived. Yeah, she lives down the street from here. I mean, she just recently moved to a nursing home, but she's older.
They run it for 50 years. So
yeah, they've ran it.
They started leasing it out.
Yeah, she lives right down the street, actually. I used to take care of her right after work every day. Ever since I started here. For a year and a half now, but this is recently, just a month ago, I haven't stopped because she's gotten really bad.
We're going to do some circular saw now? Okay.
Yes, all right. Second.
Yep, take your time.
Yeah,
you take care of what you need to take care of.
Right here on this one spot.
I'm not about to get in the way of anyone's work that needs to be done.
I've been trying to do it for 5 days.
All right.
Oh,
not gonna make that mistake.
Ooh. Yeah, everybody hits their head.
Yeah. So you've been around this building a lot longer than Ms. Sally here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, around this building, yeah. Yeah, I worked a bar here for Mike Wheatbird for 14 years. I'm a disabled handyman.
Well, you look pretty able to me. You did the job.
It's killing my back right now to do this.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put the filler on and put a piece of towel down there. I fell off the roof back in 96, and I've been on disability really ever since. I've been doing help my friends when I can.
So you fell off a roof, huh?
Yeah, up here at the bottom of Canal City Bridge. Oh.
And that did a number on your back.
On my back, I had both arms in cast for over a year. Whole lot of the concussions. Come on, let me pull down there. I ain't pulling down there.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I like this sign here.
Oh, yeah.
Read that sign for me. What's that say?
Be humble, stay hungry, always hustle.
You put that slogan up there?
Yeah, but I seen it one day and I really liked it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me. If you're not humble, you really can't make any money. And especially with this crowd here, you can't act like you're better than them. You have to kind of, you know, make them feel like they're at home. Which this is their neighborhood. You can't just come in here and say, hey, I'm better than you. You won't get any business like that.
So. Come on back here while we get a chance here.
While Ray's not here.
So I think I had just asked you to talk a little bit about the pluses and minuses of being here. Let me have you stand right over this way.
Okay.
Perfect. The pluses and minuses of being the owner of a business like this.
Some of the minuses is where, like, it's hard to find an employee. You know, you're always here at the place, and if nobody's going to take care of your business like you would. I mean, obviously, you know, nobody, it's sad to say, but nobody's going to care as much as you will, you know. So that's one of the minuses. But a plus is that you don't have a boss. You don't, like, I was running late. Nobody's going to get on to me for that. I mean, you know. So, I mean, some of those things, like, I worked for people for a while, like 5-6 years, you know, as a server. So, you know, I was never late. I was always on time. And, you know, managers was always demanding and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's one of the pluses that I don't have anybody tell me what to do.
Talk about how much time and attention it takes to keep this operation running.
Oh, so much time. Like, even when I do get to go home, if something comes up, you have to come back. It's not like you taking a break. No, you have to be here. It's always you're here. If I'm not here, I'm sometimes watching the cameras, seeing what's going on, you know. So it's just, that's, I don't know. That's how it is.
What are the hours here and how many days a week?
We open 10 days a week, 7 days a week. We open from 8:30, 9 till 10 every day, but Sunday we stay open till 9.
And it's just you?
It's just me, and we have somebody. My husband comes in here, helps me sometimes. My dad does. I mean, you know, we have some friends here and there that come and help us, but that's pretty much it.
Is this your ultimate goal? I mean, what's in the future for you?
No, I want to finish school, go into law school and become a lawyer, hopefully like a immigration lawyer or just a criminal defense lawyer, something like that. You know, that's my goal, but I need time to do that.
Talk to me about what you've studied so far. I mean, you've been studying.
Yeah, I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. Yeah.
What's your interest in that field, particularly where you want to go next? Law, immigration law.
Well, there's not much immigration laws. I mean, immigration lawyers in West Virginia. So I wouldn't have too much competition if I wanted to stay in West Virginia. And surprisingly, there is a lot of immigrants here. I mean, you'd be surprised that they don't have an immigration lawyer. And for example, I had to go through that. I had to find a lawyer in Florida to go through my immigration. My dad had to give me the American passport, which, you know, wasn't just, you know, this is recently, like maybe 5-6 years ago, I just got my American passport, but I had to go through a really long process, and I had to get it from a lawyer in Florida. So there's not lawyers, immigration lawyers here is rarely any. So, you know, that's why I would like to do something like that. There's a lot of Hispanics and stuff, you know, a lot of Syrians that come here and don't have immigration lawyer to talk to or get help from, you know, to guide them in the right way.
I just heard you talking on the phone. What language were you speaking?
Arabic. Yeah.
Who were you talking to?
My dad.
Yeah.
So I just heard you talking to your dad on the phone, speaking Arabic. Talk to me about, you came over here to the U.S., you say, when you were 4 years old?
Yes.
Yeah, but it sounds like you, talk to me about,
I do speak Arabic fluently.
Yeah,
I speak Arabic fluently, but I don't know how to read it and write it that well. I mean, I can kind of, you know, catch a little bit when I was younger, when I was four, like 2-3 years old, my grandma and my grandpa, they don't speak any English, so that all they spoke to me when I was younger was Arabic. So that's how I caught on. And my siblings, they understand it, but they don't speak it fluently because they grew up mostly here, because I'm the oldest, other than my half-sister. But, you know, she doesn't speak English, speak Arabic at all, so, or understand it. But we all understand it, and my brother speaks a little bit, and my sister speaks it a little bit, but my other brother, he doesn't speak it at all. They all understand it, though.
Do you, have you traveled back to Palestine, to where you're from?
Oh, yeah, I traveled, 3 years ago. That's actually where I met my husband. He's from there, and I had to go through the immigration process with him, and that's why it was a hassle too, because the lawyer was the same lawyer for me. He was the guy from Florida. It was a hassle to get him here. It took 2 years to get him here, but I met him 4-5 years ago. And I traveled a lot back there. But my first time traveling there was, I think, in 2013.
Somebody sick? What's wrong, baby?
Cold.
Not going to work?
No. Not school. No. So the good thing about it, the notes that I have, I could do it. And not
slides.
Snapchat, but it's a
screenshot
type of camera you can take, and you send it, and it was sent to them.
Oh, yeah, so like an online class.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So.
25 cents. Thank you. What do you need, a filter tip?
No, just I want 2 cigarettes.
Okay.
I
want
to run
the
Thank you.
You're welcome. The morning gets really slow here.
Yeah.
It's slow to about 12, but this season it's actually slower than the summer, spring, should I say. Spring, that's when it picks up. Income tax time, and you know, everybody gets paid.
Right. Let me ask you, to talk about the parade of characters that come in and out your door every day and the relationships that you build with them, and just sort of, it must be an interesting sort of parade of humanity that you meet and interact with every day.
There's all kinds of different kind of people. There's a lot of people. That's why when I studied criminal justice, there's a lot of people that have drug offenses and stuff like that, and they talk to me about it, because I did an internship in Lakin prison, and I did an internship in Mount Olive. And I went in there, and it was in the mental health part. And, you know, I got to see all kinds of different people. These people are just, they're just regular people. I thought, you know, when you go into prison, everybody's locked up. No, they have just so much, what's the word? Okay, let me get back.
Oh, yeah, there's someone here. I'm sorry.
Let me think of that word. Well, they have so much to do there. I thought everybody was just locked up. They're not. There's a cosmetology school and just so many things. But
busy
what do you want? Cigarettes?
Oh, yeah.
Newport?
Yeah.
Changing it up.
It's my mama's.
Oh, all right. And what, you need anything else?
No, that's
all right.
Yeah, you already know. I'll get my
guess. Yeah. Are you home for the weekend?
Yes.
All right, honey. Have a good day. Also, let people get tabs here. You know, some people do come pay me back. Some of them don't.
You got a bunch of slips in there, what people owe you.
Yeah. I mean, I try to help them as much as I can because not everybody has, you know, mostly I don't like to give people cigarettes. If they ask me for something to eat, then okay. But if you want cigarettes, no. Because I don't make any money on cigarettes. Another thing, food, if you're hungry, I don't mind to feed you. But if you take advantage, you know, then it's different. But yeah, cigarettes, I don't like giving people cigarettes because they don't come back, some of them, you know.
Well, it's part of making relationships with your customers.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Sally.
Hi. Hey.
Sally, let me get a sweet cream.
What you doing, Mina?
Hi, Miss Sally.
Oh, she grouchy this morning, huh? What did you want, the black sweet?
No, sweet cream.
Sweet cream?
Mm-hmm.
The Irish fusion?
Sweet.
What are you doing with that? Is this for you? What happened to you getting these?
The Irish,
you didn't like them?
No, I like them. I told you it's the different.
You just switching it up?
You gotta switch it up with the different.
He said you got hooked on those. What's it, Pat told me. He said you
got,
I said she used to smoke those.
I did. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Sally. Tell Miss Sally, bye-bye. Oh, there you go, Sally. That's why every day.
Okay. Hey, those went up, by the way, the Winston.
Yeah, they were your last time.
Give her the purple one.
Purple, yeah. That's what she got, too. Tell Miss Sally, thank you. Tell Miss Sally, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Say, I love you, Miss Sally.
I love you.
I love you, too. Oh. She was carrying a full conversation the other day.
Girl,
she's so smart.
She runs it.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, Sally. Thank you.
Honey. You're welcome. You need anything else from me?
No, I'm good.
Did you warn another? Did you tell my dad? My dad's over there, by the way.
Yeah, I'll swing back by.
Yeah, it's about those backwoods.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up,
Brad? I'm going out to Road Hat Pole, and I'll come back and glue the cow down. All I gotta do is glue the towel
down.
Okay,
it's done.
I'm gonna let the filler dry.
Okay, that's cool.
No, I gotta put the towel down, but I'm waiting for the filler to dry for me.
All right. Okay, no problem. See ya.
Yeah, I'll swing by there.
Yeah, he's over there. You know, you can't catch him but Fridays.
Oh, yeah. That's why I swung by here. I was doing a reset on one of the other stores, so that's good. I'll swing by here.
Okay. Now he's gone.
You're all set.
He's, yeah, right.
He does all right. I mean, this is crappy. He just lived this a couple months ago. But I just let him do it whenever he wants, you know, whenever he wants to come in.
Nope. Who's next? Oh, that's my part. That's our partner, Wendell.
Oh, okay.
That's my co-producer.
Okay.
Hey, good morning. I was just about to... it was interesting. You were talking about sort of some of the revelations you had about people's lives who, you got someone else.
Hey.
Hi,
Sally
Maverick.
Yeah.
Hi, I think there's because Dollar Store has them for like six.
Yeah.
So that's how much I sell them. Or they probably sell them cheaper. Do you know?
No,
because honestly, I don't have price tag for them, and there's just one customer that buys them. I'm buying from him.
Okay.
There's nobody else, and I actually been selling.
Yeah.
The
funny thing with those is those are big in Ohio. Those are the USA Golds of Ohio.
Oh, wow. Because we sell so much USA. Yeah,
so like you come over here, USA flies off the shelf from Maverick's Donald. If you go over to Ohio, it's completely opposite.
Well, is it cheaper?
They're Maverick's? They're around that 50. They're about the same price as USA Golds.
Right. Because people ask, what's the cheapest cigarette?
that has the buy down. So yeah, $6 should be around there. I had to look at an invoice, but yeah, that should be about it. You want to do $6.
Okay.
All right. So here's this is, I think, going to be a good way to sort of streamline things. I know you've got things to do. Let me ask you, I'll put it to you this way. Standing behind the counter here at this shop.
Okay, you're fine. See ya.
Standing behind the counter here at this shop, you see so many people come in and out the door. I'm sure you hear so many stories about people's lives. Talk about the stories you hear and sort of the understanding it gives you about this neighborhood, about what daily life is like here.
Daily life here is, I mean, some of their stories are actually really sad. I mean, some of these people actually want to have a better life, and some don't care. They like how they're living. And they really don't care at all. Like, they keep doing the same. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of drug dealers around here, and I can't do anything about it. I mean, you know, you do what you want to do. That's not my business, as long as you don't bring it in my store. But a lot of people, they don't want to change their lives. They come out right out of prison, and they do the same thing over. So I don't feel bad for those people. And if they get caught, that's, you know, up to them. But there is some families, really nice families, like the lady that just came in with her husband. They come in here every day. And they're a really nice couple. They come and buy wings every evening. And they're, you know, those are just some of the people that come in here. There's actually a guy that lives right behind me. His name's Levi, and he comes in here all the time, and anything I need, if I need a delivery taken, if I need some, you know, to pick up my medicine or anything I need, I can call him and ask him. If he doesn't have, like, he goes to dialysis here and there, so if he doesn't have dialysis, he'll come in here, and, you know, if I'm sad or in a bad mood, he comes and cheers me up. He's such a good add to the neighborhood, and he refuses to move. And, like, he lives right behind, and he's an older guy, but he's such a good person. Like, you know, he actually makes my day go by, you know, sometimes when he comes in here. He's such a good person. So that's one of the customers that I really like, you know. And his family, I know his son, he comes in here sometimes. And his wife is a teacher at Stonewall, I think, or Capitol. I don't know. But it's a really good family. You know, different kind of customers, you know, that I see every day. Yeah, in the mornings everybody buys blunts and cigarillos, I guess, to get that in the mornings, but that's my number one seller in the morning. I sell a breakfast sandwich here and there, but not much, you know. I usually get busy in the evenings for food because everybody obviously gets high and comes back to eat, you know. I mean, that's the only way I could state that, but yeah.
Yeah, talk to me. It must be interesting. You must, you sell different stuff at different points in the day. Yeah. Talk about, like, walk me through the day by sort of what people are coming in to buy.
Well, people usually come in the mornings to buy cigarettes. Some people come in, I'm surprised, there's like 3-4 guys that usually come in here and get coffee. And they come and get cigarettes and blunts and they leave. And they come back later and get something to eat, you know. It just depends on which day sometimes. Like Sundays, I usually will get a couple breakfast sandwiches and coffee too. But during the week, you know, everybody's usually going to work, getting on the bus, you know. But that's pretty much it, you know.
How about, are there certain, talk about over the course of a month. Like, are there certain times that are busier than others?
Yeah. Usually the beginning of the month, obviously, because most of these people in the community get paid around the 1st and the 3rd of the month. Sometimes I'll stay a little later open because I know they get paid and they have money to spend. So I stay over open. I mean, it's convenient for me and convenient for them. I don't really care, if, you know, to stay open. But, yeah, during the end of the month, actually right now, everybody's mostly broke right now. Like, you know, so usually they'll come in here and, you know, some of them buy a whole box of blunts. But now when it's like the 15th, 16th coming, you know, they won't. They already spent all their money. By the 5th or 6th, they're all broke. I mean, it's bad. And then they come and ask for, you know, help. If they're short on some things, I let them go. But some of them, you know, if they're hungry, I feed them, you know, I feel bad. So that's one of my weaknesses, is that I feel bad. And my dad tells me that you can't. Actually, he's the same way. So, I mean, it's kind of hard. But he'll let people go for a couple hundred dollars in a month, you know. And they'll come back. Some of them come back. But, you know, there's always that chance that they don't come back. And there has been customers that don't come back. So, and some of them don't even come in the store anymore because they owe us some money. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, it's $7, dude. You can come back. It's fine. But some of them are like that, you know.
So much of running a successful business like this has got to be learning how to deal with different kinds of people. I mean, you think about a business like this and you figure like, oh, you just sit behind a counter and ring people up. But, I mean, it's about making relationships. It's about drawing boundaries. Talk about what you've learned about people and about how to, you must be kind of like a psychologist as well.
Well, you have to be very patient. I mean, these customers, you can't be rude because they'll feel that. And they have other options. They can go to other stores. I mean, you know, there's a dollar store, like, couple streets down. There's a Parmar that just opened. I mean, they have other options. So you want the customer to come back. You don't want them, you know, some of them, they do call me rude because, or they call me, you know, I don't want to say it, but they, because the reason is because I don't like people taking advantage. Like, you know, because I'm a small person and I'm a female, you know, it's just how it is. You know, they try to take advantage. And I tell some of them, like, you know, it is what it is, you know, you come in here, you respect me, show me respect, then I show you respect, period, you know, I mean, and it's gone a long way, you know. Some of them had to really get used to me because they really thought that I was just being mean, but I was just trying to tell them there's boundaries, you know, you can't pass, you know, there's a line, and it's just the same regular customers every day. They come usually, most of them buy the same things. I know what they want. You know, some of them, if they buy something different, then I know, because I'm like, who are you buying this for? Or, you know, you're not buying this for yourself. Because I've been here so long. It's just, I know my customers now. It's just how it is. And they're not used to something different. You know, when a different person is in here, they don't like it because they don't know what they want. And they don't know how to ask them, hey, can I get this and I'll come back later? You know, I don't know. That's just how the.
Tell me more about your family, about your dad, about what he told you about. I mean, do you remember? You were 4 years old. Do you remember coming here to the U.S. or like, what has your dad told you about the story of how and why your family came here?
Well, main reason is we came back here is because, you know, there's not, my dad actually owned a business back home and it was actually really doing really good. And we left, and just main reason is because, you know, it's just business started going down, and my half sister actually lived here. That's why we moved to West Virginia from Dallas, you know. And my dad wanted to take care of her more and be in her life. So we came back here, and, you know, my dad just wanted me to come and, you know, see how life is, have a better life, because there with my husband, he's a dentist, and, you know, there a dentist is not doesn't make as much as money as a dentist here, obviously. So he's trying to get recertified, and my dad wanted me to just go ahead and get into the school system here and learn, because I'll have so much more opportunities. Because now with my degree, I know I can go to another country and probably make much more money. But I'd just rather stay in the U.S. and just, you know, finish my schooling and become, you know, a lawyer, hopefully. But yeah, I don't know. It's different. My dad always taught me to be a hard worker, and, you know, all my siblings work. My sister is actually in WVU. She's graduating in May. She's actually a criminology major too, and she works from like 6 a.m. every day almost, and she has like 21 hours in school, so she's doing pretty good. My brother works. My other brother, he's in Marshall. So, you know, he taught us all that you have no other option. You're going to college, and you're going to have a job. And that's what my dad showed us, is that you have to be a hard worker. And my mom. My mom actually helps my dad over there at the store sometimes. And, you know, and there's actually an employee that comes there to hear sometimes and helps us out. So, I mean, we're trying to manage it, you know.
Is there something that your dad tells you over and over again? Like a thing that he always says to you?
Yeah, don't give up, because I was close to, like, in schooling, I started as a bio major, and I was thinking I was going to go become a dentist, and I was like, oh, this is not for me. So that's Levi.
Okay.
Yeah, come here, Levi. This is one of my favorite customers, guys. That's the one I was just telling you about. He just came out of dialysis. Did you just come out of dialysis? Yeah, he's a little weak right now, so. Well, talk to them.
Yeah, sure. Hey, good morning, Mr. Levi. My name is Aaron. This is Emily.
Hi.
And
I saw you at the Triangle District at Reverend Watts Church.
Yeah.
So he was one of the activists against the urban renewal to break up the Triangle District, and gave a great talk at Reverend Watts Church about that.
We just spent an hour interviewing Reverend Watts yesterday afternoon.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, really great guy. We're here for a week, actually, interviewing all kinds of folks from around the West Side, including Sally here. Yeah. Sally was speaking very highly of you. She says you make her day sometimes when you come in here.
I don't know why.
Let me give you a chance to say a few words about Sally, about your relationship with her, sort of your interactions with her.
She's my granddaughter. I consider her family. She's a really good person. She really is. Her dad is, too. Matter of fact, I think opening this store really helped this community, because we don't have a store. You know, and if you just want to come out and get some milk or something, instead of going all the way to Kroger's. And a lot of people in this community don't have cars. This is a lower class. I don't know how to say it, but the fact that they opened this store, you can have a walk rather than having to find a car, find somebody to give you a ride to Kroger's or over there. But this is a really nice girl.
How would you describe Sally's personality?
Sally has a personality that lets her get along with all types of people. She's going to be a lawyer, and when she is a lawyer, I'm going to use her. But she has a...
She set a chair up for you.
I just got out of Dallas.
Yeah, take a rest.
But she's... Oh, my car's out there running.
Oh, you know, I'll let you go.
I remember you from Reverend Watts' church. Were you up here then, too?
No, I'm only here for the week. I'm actually here from Baltimore.
You had a couple of guys with you.
Yeah, I didn't know them, but I just came to the talk.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And are you a lawyer, too?
No.
Okay. No.
I barely graduated from college.
Oh, shut up. You have your master's.
You need some help up?
Yes.
Ready?
He was a good basketball player, too.
Yeah.
Well, still is, probably.
Okay. No, I'm 68 years old. I couldn't even bounce a basketball.
Oh.